coach Dave Rubio for his 25 years as U of A head coach. That's before the tip-off at 6 p.m. Then Coach Barnes and the women's basketball team begin their season against Western New Mexico in an exhibition game next Tuesday, Election Day, 7 p.m. at McHale. Tucson weather, still a chance of showers this afternoon. Slight chance tomorrow, then clearing for the weekend. It's the Buckmaster Show next on AM 1030, KVOI, The Voice.
Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster. A happy Bill Buckmaster. Very, very happy after the Cubs did it finally. As I posted on Facebook, yes, the wait is over. Ray Allen on the other side of the glass, engineering and producing the show. I could talk about the Cub victory for the whole hour, but there are other things. You know, we go ahead, life goes on, and we do the format. And there are, of course, some fans who are not happy, and they're my fellow original Chicagoans who love the White Sox. So they were really pulling for the Indians to win the whole thing, but luckily it didn't happen. It's Thursday, November the 3rd, 2016. We are coming to you from AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's Voice. We also have our worldwide live streaming at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. Podcasts always available for you 24/7 at buckmastershow.com. Had a nice compliment from a listener yesterday who said, "Bill, I really like your website. It's very simple to use, and we've got pretty much every show." David Morales, you've noted that before, too. We've got every show since we began in January of 2011.
Yeah, actually, just recently, I needed an old clip from 2012, mm-hmm. and I found it within a second on your site. Exactly what I was looking for.
We try to keep it simple. Sometimes, Sean McCluskey, simplicity is the best way, isn't it?
Sometimes. You know, last night was great in the Cubs game. Simple. Win.
Yeah, just win. And I could not. Here I go talking about the. Let me get it out of my system before we get into the showdown with David Morales and Sean McCluskey. I could not believe that the Cubs blew the lead. And I said to Ann, I said, "This is why I tried not to get emotionally involved in this World Series, because all the hurt from the many years growing up with Cub baseball came back."
You kind of sat there the whole game. You're going, "Okay, great. We're winning. We're winning. We're winning. How are we going to screw this up? Because we don't win. We don't ever close
no.
out. It's like, where's Bartman?" I mean, that's really what everybody was thinking last night the entire time until you saw Chris Bryant pick up the ball and he's got that smile on his face as he's catching it, throwing it to first base. Then you knew.
Then
it was like pins and needles and just about a heart attack.
Yeah. And David, people needed something to feel good about after this nasty election where you've got more than half of the people going to the polls say they're holding their nose by voting for one candidate or the other. They can't stand either candidate. It's kind of nice, isn't it, to have some good news?
It is. And I was listening last night, and I was thinking of you, too, because I remember a few months ago, Sean came on and said, what was their first 3-0 season ever in history or something? And
the first, if they started off the season, the first 3-0 ever in Cubs history. And they've also, if you look at the stats this year, they came back and won 3 in a row 20 times.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Anyway, it is the showdown, and we've started off on a very friendly foot. Well, these guys are friends. They always walk out of here friendly, and they do disagree, of course, on the showdown. That's pretty much why we have them here, because they do disagree and they bring their own opinions to the table. Sean McCluskey, Tea Party and Republican Party activist. A lot of Tea Party people don't like that label. Isn't that true, Sean?
Yeah, well, you know, I'm a Trump supporter too, and I don't like that. They don't like that one either. People are fearful to wear Make America Great Again because of the retaliation.
David Morales is with us, creator of the Three Sonorans blog site, which has had over how many hits?
It's about to break 3 million.
Wow. Congratulations on that. Okay. Sean, is your guy, Donald Trump, going to shock the world?
He's not going to shock the world. If you watch what the pollsters have done for the last month and a half or 2 months, they've all come out and said Hillary's leading by 12. She's leading by 15. She's in double-digit leads this whole time. Look at the last 4 days. Last 4 days, Trump's surging. Trump's coming, making a comeback. Trump's coming. Trump's coming. Here comes a Trump train. But then you look at all the rallies that go on throughout the country. They do one in similar cities in Florida. Trump gets 40,000 people to watch online, and he's got another 7,000 there with 2,000 people outside. She can't even get 1,500 people to show up. You tell me who's winning. But the pollsters right now, they're all trying to save their skin, and they're all saying that Trump's making this triumphant comeback, and he's going to win. He was going to win all along. He's still going to win.
Mm-hmm. What percentage?
I think he wins by 5.
Wow. David?
Well, I mean, in this country, it doesn't matter what percentage you win by because, you know, Al Gore won in 2000, and that didn't matter, the popular vote.
He'll take the electorate, too.
I think Hillary will get about 320.
320 electoral votes.
I think so. One of the things I posted yesterday on Facebook was what's more likely, that the Cubs win the World Series or that Hillary wins Arizona? Mm-hmm. And, this is almost always a red state. And the only time it went blue was for another Clinton. Mm-hmm. And the way Trump has been going lately, I mean, he came yesterday again, or his 7th or 8th visit, or Hillary was in town.
They both were. Yeah. I think Pence was here. She was here. She was up at ASU last night. They kept showing the crowd. It was a bunch of college kids. They interviewed a 14-year-old. I'm like, really? You can't even find a legal age voting individual to interview? You've had to go to a 14-year-old.
They had 15,000 at that event, which they were saying was like really big for Hillary's turnout.
Well, I think what we're seeing here is, this is just the beginning. This election has shown, it's really, I think, awoken the sleeping giant, as they call it, the Latino voters, who make up like 30% of the possible, the eligible electors, voters in this state. And, you know, what better person to do it than Donald Trump? I mean, this guy, it's all about perspective. I mean, some people will say he hasn't said anything bad. He has, but you talk to on the street, Latinos and black people and women, and I mean just about everyone except for white males, and they'll tell you that, you know, he's offensive, he's scary. It's his policies don't really make any sense. I mean, they don't really have any policies, just that they're tremendous, believe me. And now, because of him, it might be the case that Hillary wins in Arizona, and it might be the case that Sheriff Arpaio loses.
No way. I'd love to chime in here because you say Arpaio is losing. Now look at the poll they did where they said Arpaio is losing. They showed him losing by 15 points. Mm-hmm. They keep promoting this poll. It's been out there for 3 weeks. The best part about it is look at the little footnote on the bottom. 70% of the people polled were Democrats. So they're never going to vote for Arpaio. I mean, it's just that simple. That's how you get Hillary leading. These pollsters are lying to you, the public, trying to sway the vote. That's what the media does. The best part about this is when the state remains red and Trump wins and Arpaio wins, what are y'all going to say then? Because what Trump is doing is Trump is bringing out that voter that's in the 25 percentile and the 50 percentile that never votes. They vote one every 16 years. They're coming this year. Not the Latino voter. The Latino voter will be there. They won't vote for Hillary because they don't think she's the best option. They won't vote for Trump because he, according to the news media, is offensive to them. But yet, he is the one that would put more food on their table and put America back to work, Hillary.
I mean, that's just nonsense. I mean, there's no plan. There's no, you know, you might say that. You might say he's going to bring more jobs to this country and more food. How? I mean, what? Where?
It's,
you know,
very simple.
There's no policies.
He brings up one thing over and over and over that Hillary will not admit, and nor will Obama. It's the fact that our infrastructure is collapsing in this country. Nobody wants to talk about it, but if you saw it here last year, we had a bridge collapse in Arizona, between Arizona and California. It's something that needs to be addressed. How do we go about doing that? Well, of course, it's betterment for the entire country. How does he make it happen? I don't know, but he would put people back to work by doing it.
Well, that's what you just said. You said, I don't know how he'll do it, but he's just going to do it because it's like this blind faith in him. Now, what you're saying about Arpaio and Trump is interesting because you're right. I mean, he has awoken. I mean, surely. I mean, as a Latino in a liberal Latino in Arizona, I'm used to, you know, kind of losing elections because that's just the way it is. I remember, you know, Jan Brewer and everyone won. our pile won. But, you know, in 2011, after Russell Pierce won their Senate president, this was right after 1070 passed, he became the Senate president. And he had six immigration bills up that year. And an organization of Latino, most it was led by Latinos, but then they got, you know, unity from, you know, Democrats also, went out and recalled him. It was like the first time, you know, Senate president's been recalled in the country, the most powerful man in Arizona. So the one good thing about Republicans winning, and this applies to TUSD too, is that when you have a Republican leadership, the liberal activists in town will actually protest them. But the problem is then when you have people like Adelita Grijalva, Latino Democrats in charge, then they're like silent. And I actually think there's a benefit to having Republican leadership. Like I think Nanos is bad, and he's probably as bad as Arpaio, but because he's Democrat, you know, he's got support. So, I mean, there's good and bad to it. I mean, it's a good organizing method.
Let's take Richard here. He's been waiting at 790-2040. Hey, Richard, how are you?
Hey, good, Bill. I hope you're doing good today. By the way, Bill, you are an amazing traveler. I've never heard of anybody that's traveled as much as you.
Thank you
very
much.
You're incredible.
Thank
you. Hey, you guys, and David, you know, the thing is about the jobs. So Trump, of course, is a major gamble. Hillary will probably be indicted. It's a total disaster. But here's the thing about Obama that really is shocking. You know, recently, just about 3 months ago, about, you know, companies leaving America, Obama said, right there on camera, he said, there's absolutely nothing we can do to keep the companies here, to stop them from leaving. So here's a man, for 8 years in president, as the president, didn't lift a finger to save one American job. In fact, wants to sign the TEP, ship more jobs out of the country, and let Big Pharma consolidate their power over the planet. So no wonder Donald Trump's, you know, got a shot.
But see, what you're saying isn't actually factually true. I mean, he saved the auto industry. I mean, the unemployment's the lowest it's ever been.
He did throw money at the auto industry, no doubt about it. But other than that, he did not try to stop one company from leaving our
country. But yet, unemployment is the lowest it's ever been.
Well, we have a lot of people who are not looking for jobs any longer. They're not on the rolls, David. It's just not true.
Okay.
By the way, I'm not disagreeing. The economy is getting better.
All right, thank you.
Obama did some things that were good.
Thank you, Richard.
My gosh.
Thanks a lot, Richard. All right, let's take a break right here. It is our monthly showdown. Sean McCluskey and David Morales talking about what else? The election, which is coming up. We'll get some local predictions from Sean and David. They pretty much, I think, are on the same page on some of these local races, but we'll hear from them anyway on the showdown. Be right back.
Five-star Termite and Pest Control's patented foam treatment process. Trusted to rid the military base on Johnson Atoll of termites. Trusted by Tucson and Southern Arizona residents to rid their homes of termites. Locally owned and operated since 1980. We know what bugs you. Five-star Termite and Pest Control. Our president began working on an alternative termite treatment process in the early 90s. 2001, we were awarded a U.S. patent for developing this new method to protect homes from termites. Five-star, leading the pest industry in innovation from right here in Tucson. 886-0045 or fivestartermite.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority funds new sidewalks, pedestrian crossings, and bike lanes across the region to enhance our regional mobility and safety. The RTA's 20-year plan also includes roadway improvement projects and expanded transit services to provide added convenience and accessibility. The RTA continues to deliver its promise to you to make our region a better place to live, work, and play. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective. We bring you national stories ignored by the mainstream media. Sources include the Washington Times News Service, Personal Liberty Digest, the National Center for Policy Analysis, the Washington Free Beacon, and the Heartland Institute. It is national news coverage from a different perspective. The Southern Arizona News Examiner. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
Today, more than ever, consumers want to work with a business they trust. Hi, this is Suzanne Miller with your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, reminding you that thousands of consumers go to tucson.bbb.org every week to inquire about trustworthy businesses. Is your business accredited with BBB? To find out more, call Celeste Angelini at 520-345-5837 or go to tucson.bbb.org and remember to always start with trust.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. Viro Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Viro Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Viro Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Viro Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Viro Amore on the web at viroamore.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Friday, we'll talk with UA communication professor Dr. Kate Kensky. Our Friday roundtable features Tim Steller of The Star and Dylan Smith of TucsonSentinel.com. Matt Russell has Weekend Watch, noon to 1, on Buckmaster on Tucson's Voice, AM 1030, KVOI. All right, welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. The monthly showdown is with us, 790-2040, David Morales and Sean McCluskey. David's been all over the place on this TUSD thing. It's so passionate for you. Why are you so interested in TUSD?
Well, during my day job is I'm a math professor at Pima Community College, and it's on the south side, Desert Vista campus, and I get a lot of students from TUSD, Pueblo, mm-hmm. and Cholla, and other schools. And I have students that will have taken AP Calculus at the high school and tested in the pre-algebra in college. And so I'm just like, what the heck is going on here? And I've made a few visits to some of the high school math classes, and also in Sunnyside too. And there's something wrong in TUSD, you know, where they're trying to inflate the numbers. You know, Pueblo, they just got busted. You know, just this week there was a story on the grade changing. So you have students who are, their grades are being changed illegally by the principal to boost the numbers, but it's just a numbers game because the students aren't any better off. And in fact, they're going to struggle now when they go to college because, you know, they weren't prepared. And instead of just preparing them to pass, you know, enforcing tardy rules and doing your homework and stuff, they're just saying, okay, you pass, you get out of here. And that's a problem. That they've been playing that game with discipline issues. They've been playing that game with the budget.
Okay, so you made one endorsement. There are seven candidates mm-hmm. running for three seats. There are three incumbents, and you're only back. You only made an endorsement for one of the candidates?
Yeah, Betts. I'm not calling for single shot, but I think Betts is the best. And I think Rustin will probably also win, and I think he's all right. I think Stegeman and Crystal are going to go at it, and it's going to be a challenge for them too. I just hope that at least one of Crystal or Cam loses.
What do you think, Sean?
The three that I like. I like Stegman, I like Rustan, and I like Betts Putnam Hildago. She is the most sane and rational out of the other four that are available. Cam and Crystal both have displayed their inability to lead, and the other two are more part of the same cut from the same cloth, so that's why I don't even mention their names. But when it comes down to it, TUSD needs to change. As David said, they're having some issues, and the issues are now, for lack of a better word, oozing into our society.
Okay.
And we're not producing people that can actually do simple math. Well, then they're unemployable. If they're unemployable, it creates better welfare.
All right, let's go through some of the other races, the ones that will be really closely watched. Are we going to have a new sheriff in Pima County?
Oh, I believe so. I really do believe so. We might not even have an appointed sheriff come tomorrow afternoon after they go through the hearing and we figure out what happens.
So
too.
You say Mark Napier will Absolutely. Be the next sheriff?
I hope so. Now, I think he might have a chance of winning, but there's a lot of Democrats in this town, and mm-hmm. you know, people vote that straight ticket.
He almost beat Dupnik last time. Mm-hmm. He was within striking distance, and Nanos has had so much negative press, can't keep a clean shop, get people indicted by the FBI, being investigated by the FBI, just yesterday having Barbara LaWall run the bus right over the top of him and say, hey, this is all your fault, buddy, it's not mine. Mm-hmm. That's pretty damning evidence against him that he can't lead, and I think people are seeing that.
So here's an interesting thing. Like, so I'm actually supporting some Republicans in Pima County just because I want the board to change.
And
right?
Who are you supporting?
For example, Kim DeMarco, I think.
Board of Supervisor District
3. Not so much because of her, but because it changes the entire board majority and it changes everything, you know, Huckleberry and everything else. But ironically, because of Trump, because he might pull out more Latino Democrats, it's going to make it actually harder to change the board. Because of the top of the ticket.
Yeah, and this is really important because we're talking to FN Rodriguez yesterday that of the registered voters, half, when you look at the mail-in ballots that have come in, basically half of the eligible voters have already cast votes in Arizona. And it's a very, very good turnout for Latinos. Early voting has been a surge. Arizona actually leads the nation in Latinos voting.
Yeah, and actually, so, you know, the state legislature is actually doing stuff to try to hinder this process. For example, they had that ballot harvesting bill that passed this year. And, you know, the spirit of the law is that you try to make voting as easy as possible for everyone. And this was one way that they did it, and it was successful. They would go door to door and say, "Hey, you know, you got your ballot in the mail. Let's fill it out, turn it in."
And let's now, fill it out is the problem. It should be fill it out and turn
well,
it in.
Well, yeah, fill it out.
Not let's fill it out. Let me help you fill it. Vote these guys.
I'll take it for you.
I'll take that. I'll fill it out. That's why the law's there.
No,
because
people
were doing dirty deeds.
I think a lot of people have people help them fill stuff
out.
They call you. They say, "Who should I vote for?" In the you know, for constable.
Some guy shows up at your door and you say, "Hey, let me fill this out with you. Come on."
Why not?
Let's go to David, who's on the live line at 790-2040. Hey, David.
Yes. Actually, I have a different thing I want to bring up is our high taxes and all the budget overrides and bond elections coming mm-hmm. up on the northwest side.
Okay.
Basically, I just set an example, the Northwest Fire District, they want the voters to approve not one, not two, not three, not four new fire stations. Why? Because they recklessly rezoned so much land for development, and it's requiring four new fire stations. The issue with Kim DeMarco and Sharon Bronson is all these people putting up the yellow signs attacking Sharon Bronson are going to do the opposite. Kim DeMarco gets elected. She's supported by the Southern Arizona Home Builders Association. She is going to do what they want, rezone more land for more development. This is going to require more spending on capital improvements like bigger roads, more schools, more fire, police protection, everything else. And when they start spending more money, our sky-high taxes are going to go even higher.
Okay.
If you take the money that you have right now that you get in your HERF funds and you appropriately apply it and you don't spend it on salaries and you actually fix the roads with it, you wouldn't be driving through pothole-infested roads like you do currently. Drive out to Picture Rocks once. Go into the heart of Sharon Bronson's district and drive through some of those roads. There's a road that I have a video of that literally disappears underneath you.
Okay, we've got two propositions, marijuana and minimum wage. Both of you guys on the same page on that?
No. I think I'm yes for both and you're no for both.
I'm going to be no for both. I don't like the way Prop 205 is written for the legalization of recreational marijuana. I think there's some loopholes in it. Obviously, Prop 206, increasing the minimum wage, I don't think it's the best way to legislate. I don't think it's the best way to go about things. It's going to make cost of goods higher and it's going to take away your other subsidies that you no longer qualify for.
You know, I think for me, I mean, so I've heard arguments on this radio station about you know, the Prop 205. I think when you were gone, you had a good debate.
Jim Kelly hosted that. It was excellent.
And, you know, the focus was on, you know, this oligarchy mm-hmm. that will create. And to me, the main thing is when you decriminalize it, that's huge. I mean, so now if you get caught with a joint or a little bit of weed, you're not going to be a criminal. You know what I mean? To me, that's the biggest thing that I'm in support of. And the business model, we'll fix that later. But let's get these people out of prisons, you know.
All right. You know, getting back to that early vote and the turnout perhaps being 85%, doesn't that, Sean, help the Democrats even on the down ballot?
Not necessarily, because there's a lot of independents. If you look at the numbers that were turned in,
right,
primarily the independent voter votes with the Republican. And this year, I don't think people are going to vote just straight ticket. I think they've seen enough despicable acts by people, not only the top ticket, but like take our sheriff, for instance, things that he's done, some of the nasty things that DeMarco said. I just don't think the Dems are going to sit there and take more of it. I mean, we look at the bond proposal we did last time. Overwhelmingly, no. I think the tide's changing in Pima County.
All right. Sean, you're going to be on the air on this radio station at 1 o'clock on Saturday.
Saturday, that's correct.
And David may even make a guest appearance during the hours on Saturday afternoon. So there'll be more election talk, coming up. And we're going to re-air our Friday roundtable, which will be excellent tomorrow. We have Dr. Kate Kensky, University of Arizona Professor of Communication. She also knows so much about polling, and we will be talking with Kate about what a weird year this is for polling and how everything really has changed for pollsters. It's hard for them, Sean and David, mm-hmm. to even get good samples now.
Yeah, they don't know who's turning out.
Yeah.
I mean, look at how many people showed up in the primaries. We had more people vote this year in the primaries than ever before. You don't know where they came from, and yet the pollsters keep saying that, oh, these numbers are accurate. Who are they polling?
When you have a bunch of new voters,
yeah,
you know, you don't poll them.
No.
All right. All right, guys. Thank you very much for the showdown. And we'll hear from Sean and David over the weekend here on KVOI Saturday afternoon. The Buckmaster Show continues right after this.
You love to laugh? Then don't miss Born Yesterday by Garson Kanin, presented by UA's Arizona Repertory Theater. Harry Brock tries to bribe senators in D.C. to help him with a crooked scheme, but his showgirl mistress needs some tutoring so the couple seems believable. See what happens when he discovers a little learning can be a dangerous thing. Come celebrate 80 years of your Wildcats in theater and see Born Yesterday through December 4th. Co-sponsored by Jane Kibble with Campbell, Yost, Claire, and Laurel. Season sponsor, Chapman Automotive. Tickets.arizona.edu.
This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport. With 6 airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections, I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. Business owners and managers, upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593.
Experience the best of the Canadian Rocky Mountains with the rail journey on Rocky Mountaineer. You'll travel alongside the powerful Kicking Horse River and pass by monumental landmarks from the early days of the National Railway. On this legendary route, you'll see postcard images around each bend, including stays in picturesque Lake Louise, with scenic tours of Jasper National Park, and much more. Contact Bon Voyage Travel to plan your Rocky Mountaineer rail journey today. Bon Voyage Travel, your travel experts.
If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Hi, this is Sean McCluskey, co-owner and designated broker for Rincon Ventures. If you're a rental owner by choice or by accident, and you're looking to hire or change property management companies, consider Rincon Ventures. We employ an aggressive web-based advertising strategy to market your rental. We thoroughly screen prospective tenants and conduct routine property inspections. Our online system gives tenants the ability to pay rent and file maintenance requests instantly over the web. Our owners can use the same system to instantly check on their properties. Call Rincon Ventures at 881-2258 or visit us on the web at rvprop.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. What a great weekend this is going to be for gardening. And whenever we talk about gardening and supplies that you need for your garden, well, Green Things, that's the place to go. And Green Things is very conveniently located. It's a destination in itself at 3384 East River Road, just west of the intersection of Dodge and River. And just west of the Brandy Fenton Park, greenthingsaz.com. They do these wonderful free workshops. Coming up on Saturday at 10 o'clock, Fairy Garden Class. So there'll be a demo and workshop, of course, free. And you can purchase all the materials in the store and to make your own fairy garden. And of course, there's also a workshop every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. Again, greenthingsaz.com. How's the air quality here in Pima County? Let's find out. Let's go to Beth Gorman. Beth is with us on the Buckmaster Show Live Line. Beth is Senior Program Manager for the Pima County Department of Environmental Quality. Beth, how are you?
Yeah, I'm getting much better, thanks, Bill.
I am so glad you're feeling better. I know you were down with the flu for almost a week, isn't that right?
Yeah, over the weekend, and but I've come back to work, and I'm feeling alive again. Yay!
Good, good, good. We are so glad you're up and about again.
Thank you.
How did we do this summer in what is typically called the ozone season?
Well, really good news on that front, and I do want to clarify right up front, based on just general information. Sometimes people, when they think of the ozone, they're thinking of the ozone layer, but what we're referring to is a pollutant that's formed mostly from human activities, things that we do during the day, and it reacts with the sun. And that's why during the summer is when we have high levels of this air pollutant. And our concern this year was that EPA strengthened the standard to make it more protective of public health. And it went from 75 parts per billion down to 70 parts per billion. Mm. But the great news is over the summer, when we averaged all of our levels together, we ended up at 68 parts per billion, which is below that standard. And in this case, that's where you want to be. You want to be below that standard. It's not by very much, but it's enough that we won't be designated as non-attainment of that health standard.
Phoenix wishes, Maricopa County wishes for air quality like that.
Exactly. We are really, really fortunate. And it's great news for everybody's health. For people that have lung disease, kids, the elderly, and then people that are outside exposed to it, whether they're working outside or whether they're exercising. And it's also good business. It's good for our business and our economy here.
Well, I know some people have already started cranked up the fireplace. We had one kind of cool morning, and I saw some pictures on Facebook. Some of my Facebook friends had already fired up the fireplace, and some people are very sensitive to smoke from the fire, aren't they?
Well, they are, and I know it seems funny because it hasn't been that long since it's been cool, but we are seeing some cool mornings, and it's starts the time of the year, especially as we approach the holidays too, where people start using their fireplaces more, and that's when I start getting calls from people. And it's people who have a really hard time dealing with that smoke when they're out walking their dogs or just trying to exercise in their neighborhoods. So we really ask people to think about, do they really need to use the fireplace? Is that their sole source of heat? And if that's the case, then that's fine. But, you know, if they have a choice, maybe they don't want to use a fireplace and thinking about their neighbors. But if they're going to go ahead and use it, there's things that people can do to burn more cleanly so there'll be less smoke going out the chimney.
And just take a walk outside and look how much smoke is coming out your chimney, and perhaps what possibly could be done to avoid all that smoke?
Well, first of all, if there is a lot of smoke out there, and that's a good point, is just check on it once in a while and see how it's going. And you can make sure that your chimney is clean, for one thing, because that will allow it to ventilate properly. So make sure you get somebody that's professional to go there once a year or so, depending on how often you use your fireplace. But then also make sure that the wood that you're burning is well seasoned and that it's hardwood. So it's very dry, and it's hardwood like a mesquite or a pecan, and that's really going to help a lot because it burns much hotter, and it will produce less smoke.
We're getting,
and then if you do run out there and you notice that it is smoking, go back in and you can adjust it a little bit, move the logs around so that it gets more oxygen, because that's what's going on, is that it's not getting enough oxygen for it to burn hot.
You know, getting back to the ozone season, we're beyond that now, and we're into the what kind of I like to call the inversion. We have some of these in the wintertime, fall and winter, these inversion layers, and that can create some problems for people.
Right, definitely, and that's also when we get calls from people. It's basically just, overnight, and especially in the desert, there isn't a lot around to trap the daytime heat. So overnight, we cool down 30, sometimes 40 degrees compared to daytime temperatures. And that cold air just settles down in the valley and traps anything that we put into the air in the morning. So if we've got our fireplaces going, if we start up our vehicles, any of that pollution that we create in the morning is going to get trapped in that cold layer of air until the sun comes up over the Rincon Mountains and warms up the air, gets it to mix and rise. So traditionally, we do have issues with that layer real close, that inversion layer real close to the ground where we breathe, and that also concentrates the pollution close. So a lot of people do have issues with it during the winter. So we're not, even though we did great this summer, we got through the ozone season, we now have our winter pollution season for people to be thoughtful about.
And think about rideshare. My friends at the Pima Association of Government have their rideshare week, which is coming up November the 14th to the 18th. So think about sharing a ride to work.
And that's the best thing that we can do. I mean, when we get back to talking about air pollution, be it in the summer or the winter, we do a really good job of deciding it's an issue that we want to deal with and we're going to take care of it. And I know we've got people that come down from the state and they say, hey, good job. You didn't go into non-attainment. And I'm thinking, yeah, well, you don't know us down here. And Pima County loves our environment. We love our quality of life down here. And we want to keep it that way. So anything that we can do by trying to drive less, that's a big source of air pollution. It's really going to help.
We had the hottest October on record here, and shade trees do help around the house. I know we've planted some, and it does help reduce your bill, and that's something to think about as we come into the winter planting season. You've got Tucson Clean and Beautiful, which can provide some really nice low-water-use trees at a very reasonable price.
And they'll deliver them to your house as well.
Wow.
And, yeah, as long as you place them in a way that as they mature, they're going to shade your home, you'll be able to save money on your energy bill, like you say. And then it's just wonderful being able to sit outside and sit in the shade, even, you know, during the summer, even in the hottest part of the year. But the other thing is, to this time of year, because it has cooled down now, we want to be out in our yards, and it's a great time to try to dig some little ditches and divots and around our plants to capture the rainwater when it comes over the winter, and use that rainwater to help water our trees. And then Tucson Clean and Beautiful does have edible shade trees now. So you can buy even pomegranates or figs, which are moderate water users. And you've got shade, and you can eat the fruits, which is great.
There you go. Beth Gorman, I'm going to have to run. Thank you very much. Glad you're feeling better.
Oh, and thank you, Bill.
How about your website that you would like to direct people to?
That'd be great. So it's pima.gov/DEQ, which stands for Department of Environmental Quality.
Have a great rest of the day and week. Thanks, Beth.
All right. Okay, take care. Bye-bye.
Beth Gorman, who does such a great job over there at the Department of Environmental Quality for Pima County. She's been with them a long time, very, very knowledgeable on environmental issues. All right, Silver City, looking for a weekend getaway, kind of just celebrate the Cubs victory, get away from all the election stuff maybe for a couple of days. Just take a drive, 3 hours to Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Why not take a lovely autumn hike in the Gila National Wilderness? You know, just relax, have a beautiful meal in downtown Silver City, some great restaurants. 3 hour drive to Silver City. Check out all of the great places to stay at southwestnewmexico.org. And there's a couple of dozen opportunities there to recreate. They've got all the information. southwestnewmexico.org. Be right back. This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in TUS. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. This year, the Regional Transportation Authority celebrates 10 years of delivering projects across our region. More than 755 multimodal projects help you reach your destinations. By delivering both mobility and economic benefits to communities throughout Pima County, the RTA unquestionably makes a difference in our region. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Business owners and managers upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito River Walk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. Joining me in studio, attorney Don Luce of Luce Brown, Hobkirk and Callahan, attorneys at law. Luce Brown attorneys have three offices, two in Phoenix. Got a beautiful office on River Road here in Tucson. Mr. Luce is the Buckmaster Show legal contributor. He's with us usually the first Thursday afternoon of the month. He's the author of two very popular books, Arizona Laws 101, A Handbook for Non-Lawyers, and Estate Planning in Arizona, What You Need to Know. Don, are you as happy as I am because the Cubs won?
I am extremely happy, Bill. I'm from Detroit, and when I saw the tarp come out last night, yeah. I thought, oh boy, this is an hour delay minimum. To my surprise, I was watching, I flipped over to the local newscast, right. And they said they're taking the tarp off.
Yep, well, 17 minutes delay, and it was what the Cubs needed to regroup.
They regrouped, they had a little meeting in the dugout, or the clubhouse, and they came out and won the game. Great game.
It really was. Some important news concerning our Arizona election coming up. This afternoon, I think the hearing is actually at 1:30 this afternoon, the appeals court taking another look at this so-called ballot harvesting ban in Arizona. We're really, Don Luce, the only state, I believe, that has such a law.
I'm not aware of any other state that prohibits a friend from taking a ballot to the polling place. Assuming that the ballot is properly cast, you know, you have to sign it to verify that it is your vote. In Arizona, however, under a law that was passed earlier this year, unless you live in my house or you're related to me, it is a felony for you to take my ballot to a polling place. Now, what happened last week was this was challenged because the opponents of this law claim that ballot harvesting is used mostly by minority voters, and that if you prohibit the practice, then you're illegally discriminating against minorities in terms of their ability to vote. So the notion is you're disenfranchising.
Right.
The three-judge panel that heard that argument did not agree with it. And what the panel said, by the way, it was a split decision, 2-1. The Chief Justice of the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals was in the minority, and he wrote a very stinging dissent. But the two judges who upheld the law said there is no credible evidence that it is illegal under the Voting Rights Act, and therefore we are not going to prohibit the law from taking effect. Now, in the Federal Circuit Court, what happens is if you have an important case like this one that is heard by a three-judge panel, the loser can ask that the full court take another look at it, and that's what's happening this afternoon. The Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals is going to impanel more judges, and they're basically going to take another look at this argument. So Tuesday is Election Day, And today, Thursday, merely three business days before the election, the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals is deciding whether the ballot harvesting law is going to remain in effect.
Let's go to the live line. Jim Kelly is with us. Hey, Jim, how are you? You're with Don Luce.
I'm well, Bill. Don, it's my understanding that Arizona was the only state that had no law against ballot harvesting. Now, I understand that a lot of people are trying to make this law look like, oh, you know, I can't take my next door neighbor's ballot to the ballot box. And that's not necessarily true. Ballot harvesting has to do with, and everybody knows this, has to do with going to one apartment building and collecting them all for some, and then dropping them in a box, or an organization doing it, all kinds of things. But no, we were the only state that did not have a law against ballot harvesting. 49 other states have a similar law that says you cannot organize in a group to take all of those ballots at once.
Well, Jim, the law in Arizona doesn't speak to organizing in a group. What it says is that a person cannot physically deliver another person's ballot to a polling place. This law has received critical dissent from the Chief Justice of the Ninth Circuit, who has said that, and I'll just, this is a short quote, but he wrote it in his dissent, there are many burdens and challenges faced in Arizona by Native Americans, Hispanics, African Americans, the poor, and the infirm who do not have caregivers or family to take their ballots to the polls. With HB 2023, Arizona has added another disenfranchisement. So this is a hot topic. The full panel of the Ninth Circuit is going to reconsider the case this afternoon, and we should have a decision either today or tomorrow as to whether the Arizona ballot harvesting law is going to be allowed to remain in effect or not.
There's also a court case concerning Arizona not having to count votes cast at the wrong location. Was there a ruling on that?
There was. Having to do with, does this violate the Voters' Rights Act? In other words, is it illegally discriminatory against a particular group or minority? The Ninth Circuit rejected arguments by the opponents and said that if you for whatever reason, vote at the wrong polling place, then your vote may not be counted. And what the opponents of this practice were arguing was, hey, look, in 2012, there were about 11,000 ballots that weren't counted because they were cast in the wrong location. And they were saying that disproportionately impacts minorities because minorities are typically, from a proportionality perspective, the group of voters who are likely to vote in the wrong polling place because a lot of minorities are renters. This was the argument that was made.
Mm-hmm.
The Ninth Circuit said, nope, we're not going along with that. We're going to allow the Arizona law to remain in effect, and if you want to cast a valid ballot, you have to do it at the correct polling place.
We're with Don Luce. It's our monthly visit with Don, talking about the law, and one of the issues that we've talked about with Don almost every month, so I want to keep the string going, right, and it's the hot issue right now in Arizona about legalization of marijuana. What happens if this passes? Some of the polls are showing it's very close.
Yes.
But what if it passes? What is the procedure, if you could quickly go over that?
Absolutely. And I think it's interesting that the measure itself, and I've already voted, so I've had a chance to actually read it. It's 19 pages long. All right. So here are the high points. If it passes, sales of marijuana could start as early as March 1st of 2018. Okay, so we've got about a year and a half out, and then the proponents believe that retail stores would actually be open for business, and you could purchase marijuana legally if you're 21 years of age or older. Can you grow marijuana? Yes. Yes. Adults can grow, under this proposal, up to 6 marijuana plants each at their place of residence.
Mm.
Now, there is a limit, however. It's 12 plants per household.
Not quite for your own little, not your own little marijuana farm. Not maybe not enough. But
all right. Yeah. So when could adults legally possess marijuana?
Right.
If Prop 205 passes, as soon as the election results become official, that's the most likely answer. Who's in charge? Well, medical marijuana is governed by the Arizona Department of Health Services. But interestingly, under Prop 205, a new government agency would be created. It would be called the Department of Marijuana Licenses and Control. And that department would govern marijuana in the state of Arizona. So there would be a transition from the Department of Health Services to a brand new Department of Marijuana that would govern the sale, use, possession of marijuana.
Guess what? You're going to have to write a new edition to Arizona Laws 101, perhaps, after this election, Don Luce. You're going to be a very busy man. You've already put out a second edition of Arizona Laws 101. You're maybe burning the midnight oil working after this election.
Yeah, I may. And as you pointed out earlier, Prop 205 is, I think, too close to call.
Yeah.
There's been a lot of money and attention paid to recreational use of marijuana. Millions of dollars have gone in to getting this initiative on the ballot, and we'll see how it falls. We should know by next Tuesday.
All right, Don Luce. His other book, besides the Arizona Laws 101, which is a very popular book for folks to learn about the Arizona law, Estate Planning in Arizona, What You Need to Know, and we all need to know about that. It's so important. Don Luce, the election will be over very soon. When we talk to you in December, we'll talk about what it all means again.
It sounds good, Bill.
Thanks a lot, Don
Thank
Luce.
You.
Mike Check with Mike Shaw and Ray Allen. That's coming up at 4 o'clock. We do 3 hours of talk, 6 to 9 in the morning, with Wake Up Tucson soon to be 9 to 10. We've got a new local talk show coming on board from 9 to 10. There'll be that time change. Dennis Prager's show will not be on at 9. It will be on at 10 o'clock from 10 to noon because of the time change. Arizona, we don't change, but the rest of the nation does. On behalf of Ray Allen, I'm Bill Buckmaster. Have a great afternoon and evening.
This is Michael Medved. Stay tuned for more Intelligent Talk on AM 1030 KVOI, Cortero, Tucson, The Voice.